Hello, and thank you for joining the Voices for Innovation webinar about the EARNS Act. My name is Jonathan Freebird. I manage the Voices for Innovation community, and we're glad you were able to join us today. We're very excited about this webinar, and we have three guests with us that will be talking about the EARNS Act today and in general policies around apprenticeships. First, I want to introduce my colleague at Microsoft, Bill Camella. Bill is the Senior Federal Policy Lead for Microsoft on education, workforce readiness, and immigration-related issues. Prior to joining Microsoft, and Bill joined in 2008, he worked for over 30 years in Washington, D.C. in a variety of public policy-related jobs, including 10 years in the House and Senate Education and Labor Committee, and then 7 years serving in the Clinton administration at the Department of Labor. We also have with us two of the lead staffers in the Senate who are helping shape and move the EARNS Act forward, and we're very excited to have them with us. So first, I wanted to introduce Diane Browning. She is the senior advisor to Senator Orrin Hatch for matters before the HELP Committee and specializes in anti-poverty initiatives and economic development policy. Senator Hatch invited her to join his staff after working with her on community college innovations, including competency-based assessment and experiential learning policies. We also have with us Scott Cheney. He is the Policy Director for Workforce and Economic Development for Senator Patty Murray on the Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions. He is the senator's lead on the EARNS Act, on her work to reauthorize the Perkins Career and Technical Education Act, and was a staff lead on the reauthorization of the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. So we're going to turn it over to Bill first to do some introductory remarks, and then we'll turn it over to Scott and Diane. So, Bill?
Thank you, Jonathan, and I will keep my remarks brief because I know we want to hear from our experts, and we're just thrilled to have them on with us this afternoon. I guess a couple points I would make about this issue. One is, as I've traveled around the country, certainly in my respective roles on the Hill and in the administration, one constant refrain I heard from every single employer and still do today is, I can't find enough talented people to fill key roles in my company that it would allow me to expand my company and grow additional jobs. And it's unfortunately a lament we've all heard too many times and suffered from. And I know all of you have certainly experienced some of that in your own businesses. And the second piece is, there is now a huge growing bipartisan consensus around skills training through apprenticeships. And that's reflected not only in the legislation you're going to hear about from Diane and Scott, but also the Appropriations Committee, who last year, for the first time in the history of apprenticeships, put $90 million into the game. And as all of you probably know, there aren't a lot of new programs being authorized or appropriated for in the Congress, especially ones that are done so on a bipartisan basis. And this really reflects, I think, the support on the Hill for this concept. And so we're thrilled. Another $100 million is in the Labor HHS appropriations bill for this year. So this is not a one-time only deal. The Congress has made a firm bipartisan commitment to not only push the policy, but also put the resources behind the policy. And that's why at Microsoft, we are enthusiastically supporting the EARNS Act. We're doing what we can on our end through our Microsoft Software and Systems Academy to help train active duty service members to get them the IT skills they're going to need to compete for the high-paying growth jobs of the 21st century. And we do believe that the apprenticeship approach is an incredibly viable one. We've had experience with our colleagues in France, the UK, Germany, and many other places around the world where the apprenticeship concept has been deep-rooted and stretches across so many different sectors and industries. So again, thank you all for being on the call. Thank you for your support and your leadership. And let me throw it back to Jonathan to bring Diane and Scott into play.
Thank you. I think our next speaker is Scott. So,
Hi. Thank you, Jonathan, and thank you, Bill. Appreciate you organizing this call today, and glad we could get so many people on the call. I'm going to take just a couple of minutes and provide a little bit of background on the bill, and then Diane is going to spend a few minutes talking through some of the benefits and the value to different constituencies based on the bill. Very much want to thank Microsoft and all of you for your support, for your interest in this, and for your understanding that, we have, as Bill said, a lot of things that have been in play for a long time, but to see such a strong commitment to apprenticeships from the administration, from two members like Senators Hatch and Murray, and the business community around the country, has been very heartening. This is a very exciting time for all of this work. I think Diane and I have both spent much of our career in education and training and know the value of making sure that we have programs available that are business-driven and really business-oriented that meet your needs as specifically and timely as possible. And we both understand that that is the essence of what an apprenticeship is. So finding the commitment to try and move this forward is really exciting. We've been working on this. Senator Murray's been working on this bill for about 3 years, putting it together, working with various constituency groups. We were able this Congress to begin working with Senator Hatch to continue to refine it, to improve it, and to get it to a point where we could introduce it. Jonathan, I guess I'll just give you the heads up when we are ready to switch slides. So let's move to the next one here. We did introduce this bill just this year. We have high hopes that it's going to be moving through the HELP committee still this year and get it through the full Senate and the House. There's a lot of effort we need to continue to put into that. Everyone knows the kind of year that we're having. With an election year, things slow down, but Diane and I are both quite optimistic that this can still get done. You have the bill number here. I believe that in the past, Jonathan and Bill had sent out a one-pager about the bill, so we can certainly answer any questions about the content of the bill. But as you're advertising and marketing and talking to your partners and certainly to your members, it is S-2945. Excuse me. We were able to work with other members in the introduction of the bill. Senators Kaine, Scott, Franken, and Collins are on the bill with us. The House is continuing to move forward and find the right partners to introduce in the House side, and we're working with them on that. So any support that any of you can provide on that side of Congress would be greatly appreciated. And as I've said, we have a tremendous list of supporting organizations, up to about 50 now, from business and labor and education and advocacy groups and researchers and experts who are all very enthusiastic about this bill. So again, very, very happy about that. We can go to the next slide. Diane is going to spend a little bit more time talking specifically about the education and employer benefits. Just want to provide a little bit of context to that at this point. I don't know if people always appreciate that we really see registered apprenticeships not as just a workforce development kind of job training piece, but very much a part of the post-secondary education system by partnering with community colleges and institutions of higher ed and other training providers. Who are providing oftentimes accredited coursework, this really does fit into that larger universe of the kind of recognized post-secondary credential world that is driving so much of what the economy is doing today. Actually, just saw a report from Georgetown earlier today that shows that the vast majority of jobs that have been created since the end of the recession are post-secondary skill levels. Not the just high school level that used to be the case, but really changing the nature of the economy and apprenticeships are perfectly designed to fit that. We know that 30% of the jobs that are being created are from in occupations that are apprenticeable, that they fit that kind of category of job that is ideal for an apprenticeship, which is both the classroom and the on-the-job training, and that the number of those occupations that are apprenticeable are projected to grow by another 22% in the next, I think that's by 2020. Next slide there, Jonathan. We have, for those of you who've not seen some of the research around this, there is tremendous data around the value of apprenticeships. Most of the work around apprenticeships and the evaluation has been done overseas. But here in the U.S., there was in 2012 a rigorous evaluation done by Mathematica that showed that for the public sector, the dollars that are invested into these programs, the return was 27 to 1, which is just a phenomenally good return ratio for any business. And that individuals who completed apprenticeship programs will earn close to another $250,000 over the span of their career than comparable counterparts who did not go through an apprenticeship. We are working on, there are a number of efforts going on right now in the country to quantify the business return to employers that use apprenticeships. Those are not done yet, so I don't want to speculate on what those are going to show. But we know that looking at a lot of European models, there is a very positive range of return on investment to employers that are engaged. One of the values that we see in the work that we're doing through the EARNS Act is by codifying the actual Office of Apprenticeship at the Department of Labor will provide Congress much more ability to provide some oversight and some direction to the department and to the office to continue to find ways to stay up to speed with business requirements today. And a lot of that means by improving the registration process, by streamlining it, by bringing technology to bear so that businesses and employers that want to use an apprenticeship program can really make it a very fast, very turnkey process so that it's not a labor-intensive bureaucratic effort, but something that is highly responsive to your needs. And we're excited to see the department going that direction. We think this will be another way that we can push it forward. We also are going to be providing, and again, Diane will talk a little bit more about this, much more resource and technical assistance to states so that states can be more able to design apprenticeships and support apprenticeships in your states that are more responsive to the kind of economies that governors and state economic development and business leaders and chambers are driving, so it can be more responsive and, again, much more of a turnkey approach. And, Jonathan, one more. So these are some of the things we think are going to be the outcomes of getting this bill passed. Specifically, the EARNS Act, as I mentioned, does codify the function of the Office of Apprenticeship over at the Department of Labor. There's one there now. It's done administratively, so it doesn't give Congress as much ability to do the oversight as we would like. Codification will open that door a little bit more to us being able to be more directive. There is an advisory council that is established over at the department to make sure that we continue to get business voice into the process, and they can be helping the department continue to drive in the direction that you need it to be. There's a lot of money put into the ability to educate people about the value of apprenticeships. We know that right now there's still a little bit of a perception gap around what an apprenticeship is. So by putting more money into awareness and outreach and education, we can reach more students, more parents, more business owners, more guidance counselors, everyone who needs to be aware of how the U.S. is really shaping an apprenticeship system to meet our needs. There's money going to be available to support pre-apprenticeship programs, which will help students and individuals really improve their basic academic skills so that they are at a level necessary to succeed in a fully registered apprenticeship program. We know that there's oftentimes a gap there in what an individual might need, and a pre-apprenticeship program is designed to be a perfect on-ramp to a registered apprenticeship program. We do provide some assistance to companies that want to launch an apprenticeship program for the first time. There's some resources available to defray those costs, so we can make it an easier process for companies that do want to start up. And then one of the last things that the bill does is it codifies what is referred to as the Registered Apprenticeship College Collaborative. It's a trial right now being done between the Departments of Labor and Education to improve the ability of students who are in an apprenticeship program to get college credit for the classroom and the job training on the job portion of the apprenticeship, which will hopefully speed their process if they choose to be able to also get a 2 or 4 year degree in addition to the registration after they complete the apprenticeship process. So just an additional benefit to the individual to help them be able to navigate their career pathway throughout their life. So those are some of the specific things that the bill does. We'll let Diane now talk about some of the benefits to some different constituency groups, and then we can answer questions at the end.
Thanks, Scott. I mean, I think you have left us at a really great point of passing off, and I'll just pick up a little bit more about what is one of the most exciting things that my boss, Senator Hatch, has been working with Senator Murray on, and that in particular is looking at the employer-led apprenticeship models and finding a pathway to integrate that into established education and training programs. And we're really excited to take a look at looking at the Registered Apprenticeship College Collaborative as an opportunity should programs as well as community colleges, universities, training programs so choose to join, to begin to explore how you take some of the on-the-job training, at the worksite training opportunities, and really start to integrate them into an accredited pathway. An accredited pathway could take on the forms of academic credit in certain instances, but certainly on into nationally recognized credentials. And one of the things that my boss, Senator Hatch, has been much of a leader in most of his career on is really to provide the appropriate skills and a knowledge base that meet the needs of employers. And one of the things that also happens, as we see in a lot of non-registered apprenticeship programs and nationally accredited certificates, is that they become so narrowly focused that it works in maybe one region of the country, but it really is very limited in how it can be transferred. And we all know with the changing course of regional needs in the workforce, we'd like to be able to have that mobility and portability of those certificates. So we're certainly seeing the Registered Apprenticeship College Collaborative option as something that is very exciting and moving the training into the 21st century skills being met with the employers, a match, I should say. And also, too, going along with that, it does promote, and Scott touched on this as well, it does promote integration with post-secondary education, which is also a hallmark of where Senator Hatch has worked throughout his career. It also provides more opportunity for the worker, but also opportunities to expand and promote workers from within. We also feel that education benefits are both for the employee and the employer in the fact that it creates pathways. And it's not to nationally recognized credentials, but also to really look for how you build and promote and move in your career. Someone that enters into a registered apprenticeship program as a technician would have opportunities, for example, to move forward towards an engineering degree. And we certainly feel that the registered apprenticeship is a jumping off point for that. And also, one of the things that Scott also mentioned very, very well is something that attracted Senator Hatch to begin picking up where Senator Murray had put some excellent ideas on the table, is really looking at investment, real investment, federal dollar investment into pre-apprenticeship programs. Throughout the country, Senator Hatch has heard from not only high-tech information management firms, but across the board in financial services, healthcare, et cetera, that a pipeline for skilled workers is very thin. And everywhere he went, companies were saying, I need talented workers. I need workers that are ready to come into my company. And I'm more than happy to share the responsibility in training these workers, but they need to be ready. They need to have some basic skills and know what they're getting into and some terminology and being able to read for information and really adapt to my industry. And the biggest investment of the EARNS Act is in pre-apprenticeship. We're also really excited that these pre-apprenticeship programs are aligned to openings within a registered apprenticeship program. One of the things that my boss, Senator Hatch, had observed was the disconnect between what was going on in the secondary schools with pre-apprenticeship, what was going on in community colleges with pre-apprenticeships, and not necessarily in all cases. In some cases, there's some great pre-apprenticeship programs, but not in all cases were they aligned to actual openings in registered apprenticeship programs. And so making that linkage, linkage there was something that Senator Hatch was happy to see possible within the EARNS Act. So moving with that as a jumping place onto employer benefits, really shoring up the skilled pipeline of available workers is essential to the EARNS Act. And one of the things that we're also very excited about is that not only does it target students in secondary education with thinking about looking at Earn While You Learn models and registered apprenticeship models as an option for their career, but it also integrates the workforce into pre-apprenticeship programs in even more so than they are now, and also is able to reach out to dislocated adult workers as well. And really being an opportunity to have that alignment begin with a pre-apprenticeship that leads into registered apprenticeships where the employers then begin taking over and adapting the training and moving them through. So we do see the EARNS Act as something that supports very strong employer-led work-based training pathways. It also does a really important thing in that it aligns the registered apprenticeship with other federal training programs. And Scott mentioned his great work and Senator Hatch's great work in with Perkins reauthorization that's going on now and with the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act that had a lot of opportunities for job training, but this is an opportunity to add to what was excellently outlined in the Workforce Innovation Act and bring forward some alignment with those training programs by integrating the workforce system into that and also bring those established training partners on board in being able to work with employers to channel workers through the pre-apprenticeship to registered apprenticeship programs. Also, too, this allows for, employers partnering with training providers, partnering with community-based organizations that are working on worker development, partnering also with the workforce system to really start taking a look at what are some innovative, cutting-edge skills and knowledge-based training programs that are meeting the needs of individual industries and bringing them into the idea of registered apprenticeships. By keeping those partnerships intact within the EARNS Act, we're attempting to bring all the folks to the table at the same time and really designing a program from starting with pre-apprenticeship basic skills and developing them all the way through to an accredited degree, nationally recognized credentials and certificates. We're very excited about that pathway, about those opportunities, both for the worker and for the employer as well. And lastly, I wanted to touch on engagement and innovation, because as I mentioned with the partnerships there, I do feel, and Senator Hatch feels, that the EARNS Act really does a great job at bringing folks together to really collaborate on having solutions to address the skills shortfalls, as well as developing a safe and clear pathway for workers as they go forward. So not only does it work to promote registered apprenticeship to secondary students, I don't think that in Senator Hatch's going throughout the country and talking to students and to workers and to employers, there's a lot of folks in the it, both students and parents and academic counselors in secondary schools that in our nation's high schools that just really weren't sure that apprenticeship would for them to agree to an opportunity to work in computer science or into program or into information management. They thought that perhaps they would have to strict state only to trades. And it was wonderful to talk about how the history of apprenticeship in America has included great representation amongst the traditional trades, but that it also is a model that works in what we consider 21st century careers as well. So we're very excited that it has a promotion piece, and we're very excited that it has an expansion piece of along in the EARNS Act. And Scott had mentioned earlier about how it does, in addition to promoting it to potential apprentices, it also is important to small and medium-sized employers that help the startup like to enter the registered apprenticeship system as well. So we're very excited about that. And I really do think that this is a great opportunity with the EARNS Act to work with employers, to work with potential workers, to create a pipeline, to really use a proven model to start transforming opportunities for employers and workers to really bring forward opportunities for advancement, making sure employers have skilled workers, and really investing in what is most important, the American worker, and thereby supporting all of our families through getting to livable wages and having career promotion and opportunity, as well as growing business along the way. So Senator Hatch is very happy to be a part of the EARNS Act, and certainly his partnership with Senator Murray in moving this forward is something that he's very committed to, and it is certainly something that we expect to see being taken up by the HELP Committee in the near future.
Great. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Diane and Bill. Great setup. And we have several questions that have come in on the IM. So I'm going to read those first, and then if anybody has a question who's on the line, once we get through these, we'll let you ask a question. So first question, how will these programs affect older workers who must change jobs or fields? Will this concentrate on young people or be available for us as well? And Scott or Diane, if you want to answer, or Bill?
Yeah, great question. You know, there is nothing about an apprenticeship that is specifically for someone who is younger or older, and we would envision that these models would be widely available. So right now in apprenticeships in the U.S., the average age does tend to be older than what you'd see in Europe, and a lot of that is just because of how we structure our education systems. I think the average age of an apprentice right now in the U.S. is about 27 or 28, whereas it's probably more like 18 or 19, 20 throughout other parts of the world. I was in Washington State not long ago, and I ran into a gentleman who had lost his job. He was in his 50s and had found his way into an apprenticeship, which was perfect for him because he knew that after having done one job for so long, he had to revamp his skills a little bit. But he was also worried about putting so much money out just through education without getting some income, and the apprenticeship was perfect for him. So he was able to be on the job, earning a wage, providing, you know, critical skills to his employer while also getting the education he needed. So we would anticipate that this is something that can be used for young people, for a dislocated worker who needs to reskill themselves at any point in their career. And a lot of that will just come down to the particular employer, the particular industry, and the community in which it's located.
Great, thank you. Diane, Bill, anything you wanted to add? Or? All right. Second question. Is there a way for a group of small businesses to come together to help guide the requirements in a program? As a small business, you may not have a volume of positions, but the impact is very large over many companies. So how can, if you're a small business or a group of small businesses, is there a way that they can work with you all on this legislation in terms of the requirements?
Diane, well, do you want to?
Yeah, if you don't mind, Scott, I'll certainly feel free to add. I mean, because I actually think this is one of the most exciting questions, and I think that there is absolutely an opportunity for small businesses to participate in the registered apprenticeship programs. I think that is one of the things that Senator Hatch was most sensitive to in his conversations. And the way we were very methodical in working this out, in the sense that making sure that, as I mentioned before, that all partners were at the table in order to move forward through a supported pre-apprenticeship process. And that's the first thing. And quite frankly, having the workforce investment systems as a suggested partner to the maximum extent possible will help bring on employers and have an identification of employer needs and bringing those folks in clusters together to talk about what the needs are and help design those programs. And by having required employer partnerships, and required education and training partnerships, it is designed so that pre-apprenticeship programs, which are tied to openings and registered apprenticeships, are really going to foster an atmosphere where employers and training partners are working together to make sure the curriculum is established for that pre-apprenticeship program. And secondly, I think on the other side of establishing a registered apprenticeship program, Senator Hatch heard loud and clear going throughout the country that the startup costs and the in addition to, I'm not even sure how to go about doing it, seem to be two permeating questions from small businesses. And that is why we are working very hard to make sure that states have the opportunity to be to help guide how registered apprenticeships are set up in their states, since they have the firsthand knowledge of where emerging trends are and what the needs are for the workforce, and also to helping small businesses with the technical assistance they need to begin to establish and register an apprenticeship program, plus helping defray some of those front start costs as well. So we do see small businesses being front and center in this, and certainly dialogue around around that subject is something that certainly Senator Hatch welcomes, and your ideas on how small businesses can participate not only within the EARNS Act structure, but also with the existing apprenticeship money and models that are coming out right now. We certainly would like to be supportive of that and have those conversations.
Let me add, if I can, just two additions to what Diane just said. I think there's certainly in the history of apprenticeships in this country, there's been a clear role and in some ways probably a predominance of apprenticeships taking place across groups of small companies. You know, the tradition that most people think about is apprenticeships in the trades, the building trades. So you have a lot of small companies, a lot of small contracting and construction companies who will jointly share the creation of an apprenticeship program and manage it jointly, so that they are all able to get the skilled workers that they need across their many employers. We're seeing very similar activity right now, and I point to some new work being done out of the state of Washington. The Washington Technology Industries Association is launching an apprenticeship to meet the needs of particular occupations in the IT sector. And those occupations cut across lots and lots of companies, large and small, in the IT sector, but also in retail and hospitality, and everyone needs IT workers. And so a lot of small companies are going to be able to avail themselves of this new apprenticeship by working with organizations like WTIA, who is managing this program to help develop the very talent that's needed that a small company has a hard time doing, but can partner with a lot of other companies across industries in order to get the skilled workers they need for particular occupations.
Great. Thank you, Scott and Diane. And I'll just add, as part of the VFI program, if you have any thoughts, ideas, or things you want to share, you can certainly send those to me, and I can make sure that they get shared with both Scott and Diane. So appreciate your question on that, Naomi. Next question. Has the administration and/or the House Senate leadership weighed in on the bill, or any governors? Just curious about broader support and where that stands right now.
So I think the administration very supportive of all of this. They have been putting money into apprenticeships. And supported the labor age appropriations effort and have been very supportive of this bill in particular. I won't speak for the majority in the House or the Senate right now, but I know that in the Democratic minority, very strong support. National Governors Association has signed on, and we got a joint letter from was it Governor Herbert? Diane, I know it was Governor Inslee from Washington, who's a co-chair of the...
Governor Herbert, the governor of the state of Utah, is the chair of the
right.
National Governors Association right now, and he has been tremendously supportive of this, not only this bill, but in integrating state innovation into registered apprenticeships, and has in partnership with many governors across the country, has been really active in this, but also got the entire association to add a letter of support for this legislation. And I'll take this opportunity now, Scott, to kind of tell you where the majority is in the Senate on this. Senator Hatch is working on this in a bipartisan manner, and certainly we have Republican and Democratic co-sponsors on this. And certainly this is a registered apprenticeship is an idea that is beyond, is not partisan, is beyond being partisan, and we are certainly working with more and more of our colleagues in the majority as they are also looking at solutions to help employers out to bring along a skilled pipeline. So my boss is, Senator Hatch is absolutely optimistic about how this really is not a partisan issue.
Great. There's two more IM questions, but I'm going to combine them into one here. So how would small businesses, and I would say individuals as well, become aware of programs that they can become a part of? So for example, unions are a resource. Will this act work with unions or push away from them? So how will small businesses be made aware of these opportunities?
So I think this goes back to, one of the points that Diane was making in the design of the bill is that we very consciously wove apprenticeships and the EARNS Act into the larger kind of workforce development system. So and by bringing trade associations and professional associations into the structure of the bill so that as apprenticeships are established or as you're working with a community college, a workforce board, your chamber of commerce, the National Association of Manufacturers, whoever it may be, they're kind of the aggregator of these efforts and are sharing that information across an industry, across an occupation set, across a city or a community, And this will be pushed out very broadly as both a need is identified, but also as programs are set up and stood up to bring other employers in. So, you know, I think that process will evolve as we move forward, but we very consciously wanted to make sure we were taking advantage of all of the systems that all of you are already a part of in order to help to share that. To the union question, this bill is agnostic. You know, if you happen to be in an industry that has a union presence and they're a part of this, great. If you're in an industry that does not have a union presence and you an apprenticeship moves forward without the partnership there, also fine. This bill is about the model of apprenticeships, not about a particular relationship that has to be in place in order to have an apprenticeship.
Yeah, and if I could may just very quickly echo that. One of the things, in my opinion and Senator Hatch's opinion, that's most exciting about that is what Scott touched on, is that this is a responsive training model to where the workforce needs are in a particular locality. And however that is shaped, whatever partners are necessary to move that forward, they are welcome at the table to move it forward. But the establishment of the relationship between the employer, the workforce system, and the training provider is something that we're fostering, and how you bring along other entities that will strengthen those partnerships. Agnostic is a great word for it, but the idea being that when there's a workforce need, making sure that the employers that have the needs, the small businesses, the large businesses, the middle, you know, the mid-sized businesses, all have access to a conduit of and a pipeline of skilled workers. So we're very excited that it meets what we feel is a great model going forward on that.
Thank you. Great. We're almost at time, or we're about at time, but I did want to allow if anybody's on the phone and didn't have an opportunity to IM a question, if you'd like to ask a question now. And again, please identify yourself. And if you're muted, you can hit star 6 if I muted you. Okay, hearing none. One last then final question. Can the participants on the call get a copy of the deck? Scott or Diane or both, is that okay if the deck gets shared?
Fine here.
Okay, great. Yep. Then we will share out the deck as well. All right. Well, then I wanted to thank Scott, Diane, and Bill for your time today. We really appreciate it. And I also want to thank everyone that participated on the call. Hello.
Oh, can you hear me? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Oh, great. Sorry, I have a quick question before we wrap it up. Is it okay?
Yes, please.
Okay,
please,
my name
please.
Is Brigitte.
Go ahead.
My name is Brigitte Benchimol. I'm the director and CEO of a preschool in Los Angeles, California. My biggest issue is to find staff. When I do find staff, my biggest issue is to have well-educated staff for educating our children. Even when they have their credential, it doesn't mean anything to me most of the time. I have started on my own kind of a volunteering program / apprenticeship program. And I want to know, is the program that you were talking about, does it exist yet, or is it a bill that we're thinking of offering?
So registered apprenticeships are currently in operation all across the country. They are in a growing number of occupations. I don't know if there is one in preschool programs in the state of California, but we could easily find that out. And if there is a registered program in the state, your partnering with that would be possible. This legislation would provide resources in order to expand and grow the number of occupations that have an apprenticeship program operating so that more employers can take advantage of them.
Great. Who should I call to get in contact with to suggest I want my preschool to be a pilot program for apprenticeship? I have been in any I mean, different kinds of business, but in the field of early childhood education for the past 17 years. I had owned my own business for the past 30 years. And I had apprenticed when I was about 30 years ago, when I, in another country, in France, actually, because it was part of the program, like half in school and half on the field.
I think, Jonathan, maybe the best thing is that if you just get Brigitte's,
I'll get the information.
Her personal information, we can help get the right contact in California for you.
I will do that. If you could email me jfriebe, J-F-R-I-E-B, as in boy, at Microsoft.com, and just give me the specific information, and I will follow up with you.
Great. Is it part of Microsoft.com?
Yes.
Is it part of the webinar? Is it in there? Jeff, you said Jeff Breed, J-A-E-F-F?
J-F-R-I-E-B. Jfriebe at Microsoft.com.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much. It was very useful. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you again, everyone. With that, we'll wrap up the webinar. And one last thing I'll mention, and I'll include it in the follow-up email. We do have an opportunity for you to write a letter in support of this legislation to your members of Congress. It's on our website, www.voicesforinnovation.org. For those who are on the IM, I'll put it in there. But again, thank you, and we look forward to bringing you more great content as the year progresses. So thanks again, Scott. Diane had to jump, and Bill. But thank you, everyone, and thank you, especially to you all
thank you
for
guys.
Your help on this. Thanks.
Have a great
fourth. All right. Bye now.